right, metalheads, this is DJ Rem, Quote the Raven, live on Rock Addict Radio, and I have Richie Randall from the band Gravehuffer on the line. What's up, brother?
What's up, Rem? How you doing today? Tonight, I guess.
Day, night, it's all the same. All good.
Right.
I'm doing great. Just been sitting here jamming out badass metal for the last couple hours to the listeners, and now I got you on air to do an interview, so I'm a happy man.
Thanks, man. I'm happy to be here.
And as long as you know, you've been helping promote my show, and I've been playing your band's music, and that we realize this is the first time that we've ever actually done an interview, so I'm extra stoked about that now.
Yeah, me too, man. I don't know what's ever, you know, we just. Like, I think what you were saying off air, the timing just never really quite clicked, and so I'm glad we're able to finally chat, man.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So why don't we start, introduce yourself and your spot in the band and the guys that are not with us tonight as well.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm Richie Randall. I play guitar, do some backup vocals, help write the material for Gravehuffer. I do a lot of social media work and things like that. Help book the shows. Mike Gilgi is our bass player. He does a lot of like the art and a little bit of social media as well, and helps write the material. Our singer, James Heiser, he writes all the lyrics, does all the screaming. Also helps book shows, and we've went through a succession of drummers here in the last couple of years. Larry Deardorff was our drummer from 2008 to 2017, I believe, and then we had Matt Browning for about a year, and then we had Casey Denton for about 8 months, and then we just got Jay Willis, and we got him at the end, I think, in July of this year. And he's really done a fantastic job. Part of the reason the other drummers didn't work was Larry. It kind of sucked because we had been with him for so long, but he had a job that just did not allow him to really play shows anymore, so he had to step down. Matt and Casey were both from Springfield, Missouri, which is like an hour away. So the time, you know, or the distance really proved to be too much to overcome, basically. So luckily, Jay, he had just moved to Joplin to go to school here. And a friend of ours that had booked shows in Kansas for us, named Joe Wilson, he put us in touch with Jay. And Jay's also, he's more our age, and he's into a lot of the same stuff we are. And so he's really clicked real well, and he's already helping us write new songs for the next record. So it's working out fantastic.
Awesome. That's badass. So what else is going on with you guys right now? Do you guys have any live shows or anything coming up in the near future?
Yeah, man, we've got a ton of shows coming up. We just played this last weekend. We played the Topeka Metal Fest. We played Thursday night. It was a 3-day thing. And that was really cool. We got to play the Jayhawk Theater there in Topeka. Probably the biggest stage we've ever played on. I mean, this place was huge. You know, they have the full-on lights, the sound. And I mean, it was really cool. I can't say enough good things about them. They fed the bands and gave us, you know, they had radio, photography. The sound man was recording the bands on request, and it was really cool. To my knowledge, our label No Slip Records is paying the person that ran sound at Topeka Metal Fest to mix and master our set for a possible like live EP or something. So, which is cool because the sound was awesome. I mean, the sound was really good. And our performance was really solid. So I know for me, my amps never sounded better. So because I was like, man, my guitar sounds mean. I even had a couple of kids come up to us after the show. Hey, what kind of amp are you playing, man? It sounded awesome. So yeah, that's always good, you know, when you get a positive reaction. But anyway, we got something coming up this weekend that's going to be a benefit for music in public schools. And then after that, we're playing in Chicago and then Wisconsin the following weekend, Friday and Saturday, October 4th and 5th. October 18th, we're playing in Lawrence, Kansas at the Harvest of Doom Festival with Coven and Mothership and some other like local bands. And then let's see, Halloween night, we're playing here in town. We're playing a Halloween show. And then November 1st, Dallas, Texas. November 2nd, Houston, Texas. We're playing with our good friends in Doomstress in Houston there. So yeah, we've got a couple of like little weekend runs and stuff going on, and then the out of town show here and there. So yeah, we're playing a lot.
That's good. Yeah, yeah. I was in Chicago last week, and I had posted, you know, anybody playing, and I saw your post. I'm like, wrong weekend, damn it.
I know, man. Shoot, I saw that, and I was like, ah.
Yeah, I know. It would have been so cool. I'd love to see you guys live.
Right.
One day, just like this interview right. finally happened, one day exactly. I will see you live as well.
Where are you exactly? Where
I'm
you
in Southwest Michigan.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Only 2 hours from Chicago.
Okay, well, shoot, man. We should be able to make it there sometime soon, I think.
Yeah, you guys need to check out, because I'm pretty sure they're taking bands for next summer, Michigan Metal Fest.
Yeah, we tried for this year. I don't know if we just didn't get it in time or what, but we never heard back from anybody. But yeah, we did try.
Okay. Well, yeah, try again.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll give it a try for next year and see what happens. Yep. Where is it exactly? Like,
it's in Battle Creek at a place called Lila Arboretum, and they had two stages going all day long.
Oh, nice. Battle Creek, where Pop-Tart, where Kellogg's is?
Yeah, yep, and exactly.
And the Kellogg's is?
Yep.
Heck yeah, man. Battle Creek. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's a really nice club there also called the Music Factory, and they have... They have national touring acts and local bands and support bands. I mean, it's every weekend there's different bands there playing. It's all metal.
I seriously, I've heard of that place. I know I have. I've probably seen it on like some of the national touring act tour dates or something.
Probably. If you look up Ardent Entertainment, they're the ones mm-hmm. that do all the booking and stuff.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll have to give them a buzz.
Yep, definitely. So back to the band. So how long has Gravehuffer been around as a band? How long have you guys been doing this? I know you've had some lineup changes there here and there, but is a band in general, how long has it been going?
Well, since 2008, really. That's when the four original, you know, guys got together, and we used to be called Crom, and we went by that name for until 2011. And we were getting confused with other bands called Crom and rappers and all kinds of electronic music. The internet was kind of like not a huge thing back then. So we couldn't really look up to see if there were all these other bands with the same name, you know?
Right.
And so when we started like actually getting confused with that, with other bands of the same name, we're like, yeah, let's just change the name. And so we changed it to Gravehuffer in 2011, but still the same band, you know, same songs. Heck, when we released the Gravehuffer, the first record is actually half it's half of an EP by Gravehuffer, and the other two thirds of it, I guess, is the first Crom record.
Okay.
Because it's the same guys, so right. We just changed the band name. So we just reintroduced those Crom songs as Gravehuffer.
Very cool. And how was it received when you did that?
Oh, it was really well. I mean, it seemed to. It's funny, hardly anybody remembers the Crom days. Although, when we played Topeka Metal Fest, there was a guy in the audience goes, and he was like, "Play some Crom," and we're like, "What the hell?"
That's awesome.
We're like, "Holy shit, that was really cool!" And so, you know, after we play, he walked up to us and goes, "Man, I remember seeing you guys in like the winter of 2008. You played at blah 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 in Kansas," and we're like, "Oh wow, that's really cool." You know, I mean, somebody from 11, 12 years ago that saw us play, you know, as and going by another band. And it's cool that he remembered us as Crom, but still followed us through the Grave Heifer. So,
oh, hell yeah. And still out there coming to live shows to support you. That's exactly really cool.
Yeah.
So back when you guys did start the band, I guess kind of what originally brought you guys together, you know, to make this happen?
Well, it's funny. Myself, Larry, our first drummer, and Mike, the bass player, we were in a band in the, it was like from 1996, 97 up until like 2000, 2001. We were in a band together called Initial Detonation. And it was more of a hardcore, like punk metal kind of thing, which we still kind of are, but this was a little more on the punk side of things. We had male, female vocals, two guitar players, and then myself, Mike and Larry. And so, you know, we'd been jamming with each other ever, you know, since the 90s. So when they decided to start playing music again, they called me up and I was like, hell yeah, man. Because I hadn't done anything for, you know, 7 or 8 years. You know, I met my wife and we got married and, you know, started a family, and just music kind of took a back seat for a little bit.
Right.
So once my kids got a little bit older, it's easier to, you know, hit the road and play shows and stuff. So yeah, it was actually, you know, it was just really good timing for everybody.
Excellent, excellent. So
yeah.
So your family pretty supportive now these days with everything going on?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, sometimes my wife will make it out to shows and help us sell merch.
Oh, badass.
My oldest son is 16, and you know, sometimes if we'll play all ages shows, he'll come out and watch us play. So he's helped us sell merch a time or two as well. So, you know, he's actually traveled with us, you know, to out of town shows before. So yeah, they all love it, you know. I mean, my kids play in band and stuff in school, and so yeah, it's a pretty, we're a really musical family, so it's really cool.
Yeah, no, that's really nice.
Yeah.
So shameless plug time. Where is a good place for people to go to find out more about Grave Heifer? What social networking, what websites are you on?
Well, Bandcamp, graveheifer.bandcamp.com. is where I like to direct people to get started. All of our social media links are there as well. But we have all of our music, all of our merchandise is all there. We have lots of merch, man. We got like records and cassettes, CDs, posters, stickers, patches, t-shirts, you know, the whole nine yards, skateboard decks. I mean, you name it. You know, we try to make our merchandise fun, you know, something that, you know, you want to hang on the wall or, you know, whatever the case. We just released a new vinyl EP with No Slip Records, and that's really going well. But then we're also on Facebook, you know, facebook.com/Grave Heifer. We're on Instagram at Grave Heifer, Twitter at Grave Heifer, YouTube. You know, you just type in Grave Heifer, you'll see us. I mean, we try to hit up all the social medias that we can. And I think that, you know, it's funny, there's like a slightly different crowd for each platform.
Yeah, right.
You know, you just never know who, some people prefer to use, you know, one or the other. So, you know, I feel like that, it's funny, like some people are all on all the social medias, but I feel like we get just a different kind of reaction from the different ones. So yeah, we're kind of, you know, whores when it comes to the social media and the promotions and stuff, you know. I mean, what else are you going to do? So
you got to get the name out there, right?
Yeah, you got to get, exactly. So, and you never know who you're going to run into or you're going to network with. So,
right.
So yeah.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah, and I will attest to the merch page. Lots of badass killer stuff there. The new vinyl is amazing.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, definitely. Well, highly endorse all of it, and for sure. Did you say there's like maybe another run of some cassettes coming or something?
Yeah, we're gonna have some more cassettes made. So yeah, we are out of those right now, but yeah, we're gonna have some made. I would say probably within the next month or so. The place that manufactures our cassettes is only like an hour away in Springfield, Missouri. Yeah, it's called National Audio, and we just drive up there and pick them up when they're done. The guy that actually the owner of the label that does our cassettes lives there in Springfield, so he just takes care of it for us. And so yeah, you know, he usually helps us out. You know, we'll go half on the price or whatever. And the ones that we got done was like this see-through red with the black ink on it, and they turned out really cool.
I know. I was too late to try to order. So.
Oh yeah,
that's
yeah.
What...
We just sold the last one about a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, something like that at a show.
Yeah, no,
so,
that,
yeah.
I'm glad to see you guys selling it, man. I mean, because, you know, most of us that do this type of stuff know that that's about the main place you guys make your money is selling merch. So when you're selling, when I see you're sold out, I'm like, that's success, you know?
Exactly, yeah, because, like, you never know how the door's going to do or, you know, if you're even going to get paid at all. I mean, unfortunately, you know, venues have a hard enough time trying to, you know, make their money back to keep the place open.
Right.
And, you know, the bands just, you have to have merch if you want to get gas and get food and get down the road. I mean, that's just all there is.
Right.
You know, that's just all there is to it, unless you're asking for a guarantee and you can draw a bunch of people.
Right.
You know, we're not quite to that point yet. So we're still, I guess, you know, paying dues, so to speak, but we feel like, you know, when we can go places and have a good, you know, few people at least show up and know who we are, then that's, we're on the right path, I think.
Right on. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, Megan's in the chat, so I want to give a shout out to Megan, because I know that I think she's the one that kind of helped get this going for us.
Yes, she is. Thank you. So, appreciate that.
So props to Megan for being the catalyst that apparently both we needed.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And I got Scott hanging in the chat. He actually lives in Chicago, and he mentioned in the chat that he's going to actually try to hit that show. So.
Yeah, it's actually in Hanover Park. It's like outside of Chicago a bit. And I think it's about 45 minutes from like Lake Michigan area.
Okay.
So yeah, it's west, I guess, of there. And so yeah, it's at a place called Bungalow Joe's, I believe, in Hanover Park. So okay. Yeah, and it's October 4th. It's a Friday night.
Yeah, excellent. Well, another cool thing with recording this interview, you know, this will be in the next day or so. I'll have it up on the podcast channel. So. We'll definitely want to promote so people hear that, you know, try to draw some more people as well.
Right. Definitely. Yep.
So if you think back to kind of like when you kind of got into music and got into metal and everything, you know, what kind of influences did you have that kind of helped direct you in this path?
Well, it's, you know, we were talking about Deep Purple earlier. My parents, they actually named me after their guitar player, Richie Blackmore.
Yeah.
And so they're huge, you know, Deep Purple fans. So I heard a lot of that growing up in the house at very loud volumes. And, you know, my dad can't hear at all. So he's like always got the music cranking. And he was in the army, you know, he was like some kind of gun or missile operator. So he was always around loud stuff. He was stationed in Germany, and like he saw all these awesome bands in the early 70s, like Led Zeppelin and The Who and Deep Purple and stuff like that. And so he brought that to America with him. Like, none of the people around here that my parents hung out with really knew those bands. And so it was kind of cool that my parents were introducing some of the harder edged music to the air. You know, we're in the middle of the country, Joplin, Missouri. And so the literally the Midwest, like right in the middle of the United States, and so stuff takes a while to get to us, you know.
I know, so, the feeling from where I'm from. I get it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, stuff takes a while to get here, and so you know, when my dad, you know, brought some of that influence back to the area, you know, it was pretty cool. And I remember listening to that stuff and, you know, getting into Judas Priest, and, you know, my dad had a Judas Priest record, and I remember thinking, whoa, this is really heavy, and Black Sabbath, and thinking, oh, this is scary, but this is really cool. You know, I'm like 5 years old, 6 years old. And, I mean, that's really where it started, you know, putting on my dad's records and playing them, and not only being kind of scared of it, but kind of fascinated by it too, and thinking, hey, that would be pretty neat to play drums or guitar or whatever. Drums or guitar was kind of, it didn't matter to me at that time, but I don't know. I just kind of started gravitating towards guitar a little more the older I got. And my parents bought me a guitar and an amp, and they were super supportive. So yeah, I totally blame my parents.
Oh, props to your parents. Horns high to the parents, man.
Yes, definitely.
Heck yeah. It's, you know, I always ask that question, and mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, I get a similar response where the parents had some type of influence. And that's why I like to ask that question, because, it's, you know, it's like, it's nice to give props to the you know, the old folks for helping us get into our music. I mean, the very first thing that got me into metal was my mom had, you know, Black Sabbath Paranoid album. And
yeah.
I listened to that, and I was like, I'm not sure what this is, but I really like it, you know?
Like it, yeah, exactly.
Yep. So
that's awesome.
Totally get it. And then when I was in, like, junior high, somebody, like, was like, here, listen to this, and it was, like, Metallica or something, or Megadeth.
Yeah.
And I mm-hmm. was like, you know, I was like, I can't understand what they're saying, because at that point it seemed so fast, you know, right, compared to what I was used uh-huh. to listen to. I'm like, but right. I know I really like it.
Right, yeah. It was like it was like the perfect storm at the time or something, yeah. You know?
Yep.
I remember a friend, I think it was my older brother, had Master of Puppets on cassette, and he bought it, and I'm not sure if he liked it or not. You know, I think maybe he did, but I was like, I pretty much stole it from him, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I listened to it way more than he did, and you know, that kind of got me going toward the more extreme path, you know. And then I started getting into, like, the thrash, then the death metal, and it just kind of went from, you know, just snowballed, you know.
Yep. No, I do. I can't play an instrument to save my life, but as a music fan and listener, and, you know, for radio show, it's just gets heavier and harder, and, you know, that's just the way it seems to go has gone
right,
for me
yeah.
as well.
Yep, that's for sure.
So with your with the music you guys you know, have recorded and put out, what studio have you used to do the recording and mastering and stuff?
For the recording and mixing, we've actually done it all on our own.
Very nice.
The last EP that we did, our bass player, he bought this, it was like a mixing board from an old church. It's an old analog mixing board from the 80s. And he put it upstairs in his house, and he's got, like, this finished attic, and it's got all these angled walls and stuff, and he put the soundproofing in there, and he's got this nice computer that's got the recording program on it, an interface, and he's got a drum room, a guitar room, and a vocal room. And I mean, he's got the whole nine yards up there. And hell, we practice up there too in the studio. And so it's gone really well. And the previous albums, like the very first album, we recorded at my house in my garage. And the Your Fault record, we recorded at our old drummer's house. He had recording equipment, and we just kind of pulled all our microphones and cables and all that stuff together, and bought a Snake and some headphone amps and stuff like that, you know, as we were recording. And we were just doing it old school DIY, man. Like I said, our bass player's got a little more of a pro setup now, so yeah, it's pretty much all done by ourselves. And Although the mastering, now we'll let the pros handle the mastering, but this last EP we had, our label No Slip Records had that mastered by Lucky Lackers.
Okay.
A guy named Dave, and he's done stuff from like Suicidal Tendencies and just stuff like, I mean, he's done some pretty big bands. So we were like pretty stoked that, you know, he's mastering our stuff and he's mastered stuff that we grew up listening to.
Yeah. That's super cool. Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And shout out to No Slip, because those guys are badass as well. Love them.
Oh yeah, man. They're, you know, Robert's an awesome guy. His last name is Pilsen, which is No Slip is Pilsen backwards.
Right.
I love that's how it came up with the name, but Robert's a super nice guy to deal with. And I'll tell you, for being the label boss, he's really good at like the artwork, like setup. Like he designed like all the sleeves and stuff for the record. And we just submitted the art, and he's the one that came up with where to put everything and like some of the backgrounds and things like that, and the fonts and just the way it looks, just the style of it. That's all Robert. And some of the posters we've done lately, that's all Robert. He's a pretty good, Photoshop wizard, man. and it's funny. He's like, hey, I just got bored today and I came up with this thing. I'm like, that would be a cool poster. And it's like, I work in a print shop for a university, so I can just print them, and then, we'll sell them for like $1.
Right.
Like 12 by 18 on like a textile paper, and we sell the shit out of them. it's a lot of fun having somebody in your corner that, also enjoys, putting that stuff together. He's not just a record label boss. He's also into the artwork and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I've ordered some vinyl from him, and I got, I got pins and guitar picks with it, and, little sleeve things. And like, I got in my office here, I have like this big board with band stickers on it. I just kind of collecting the stickers and stuff just to keep an eye on all the different bands that I've talked to and that I've got stickers from and stuff. And I got a bunch of his stuff hanging up there. Because of the artwork is so badass. And, it's funny that you said he just will be like, yeah, I was bored. Those are the guys that are awesome at art stuff.
I know. It's crazy. Like, our bass player is that way. Oh, I got bored and just came up with something. And you're like, that's sick. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I couldn't draw anything to save my life.
Me too, man. I'm not artistic in that way. I can write music all day, but I can't draw or paint I don't know. Some people are just wired that way.
Yep.
It's pretty cool.
Exactly.
Pretty cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, I remember you were talking about Robert. I ordered something from No Slip before we were on the label, and ordered the Hazard record. And there's like pens and guitar picks, and there was like a CD or there may have been a couple CDs in there. Uh-huh. Like you say, like a slip mat and just all kinds of patch. And I was like, hell yeah, man. This guy knows how to do it. And I was like, man, we need to get on this guy's label. I mean, I think that's what it was. Like, that was like, we had already kind of talked to him about it. But then when I ordered something from them and got all this, you open it up and just shit just falls out.
Right.
Let's get with this guy. He gets it.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I think it was. The Mother Slug, one of the Mother Slug albums that I ordered that came
out. Oh yeah,
Love that band. But
yes, I've got that record.
Speaking of other bands, if I was to look at the playlist of the stuff you're listening to these days, what kind of music would I find you listening to?
Here lately, like this morning when I was taking a shower, I was listening to Deaf Heaven, Sunbather. I've been listening to some Gojira a lot lately. Godflesh, Judas Priest, they're always in my playlist. Devin Townsend's got a new record called Empath that I just cannot get enough of. Man, this always, I listen to music like daily. So like stuff always gets forgotten or left out when I get asked these questions. yeah, I've been listening to so much just weird, crazy stuff. There's a band called New Model Army. They're kind of like this folky punk band. I've been listening to them a lot. Man, I don't know. It's funny. Like, I'm in a metal band, but I don't listen to metal, like, all the time. I listen to, like, lighter stuff or weird stuff.
Yeah, nothing.
I mean, I listen to metal, like, half the time.
Right.
I mean, I've even been listening to, like, Beastie Boys a lot lately.
Uh-huh, yeah. Good stuff there.
A little bit of Public Enemy and Wu-Tang and, you know, I mean, man, it just goes on and on and on. Dark Throne. You know, it's funny. I keep thinking of these things on stuff I've listened to lately, and this stuff just keeps coming out, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely a few of the things I've been listening to lately.
Cool, man. Yeah, my playlist is all over the freaking place. So
right.
I totally get that. I mean, my friends just shake their head at me because I could listen to, you know, I could be listening to some really hard death metal and then turn around and throw some Waylon Jennings in. Why not?
Right. Just, yeah. Yep. Definitely. Yep. That's funny. Like my wife, she's the same way. Like I'll come home, she'll be listening to like, oh, I don't know, Johnny Cash or something. Uh-huh. And then the next minute it's like Sex Pistols. And then after that, it's like Morbid Angel, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just we call ourselves schizophrenic playlists.
Yeah, no,
I'm
right there. What I've been listening to a lot lately, and kind of going back to, because I've been listening to these guys for 20 plus years, is been listening to industrial stuff. KMFDM from Germany.
Oh man, I love KMFDM.
And they have a brand new song out. And it is badass, and it is hits hard too.
Oh, I think I heard that on this station actually. I can't remember if I was listening to Carol's show or what, but Crazy Cat Hag.
Yeah.
I think I was listening to her show maybe, and that's where I heard it. And I was like, man, I didn't realize they had anything new at the time. So, and I've always liked that band. Really, really cool stuff. I think I started getting into them in like the early 90s.
Yep, same here.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It was right when, and I remember exactly, it was right when the local record store had just started selling CDs. And,
oh, wow.
And I went in there and there was, it was KMFDM. It was single on CD. It was their KMFDM Light song. And it's like 15 different versions, remixes of that one track. And
oh, wow.
But that got me hooked. Yeah. You know, now, you know, they got like 20 some albums. I haven't bought all their albums, but have been a fan ever since. So,
oh yeah. Yeah. They've been doing it a long time and they know how to do it right. And they always have like slamming like beats and kick-ass riffs too, man. They got a badass guitar player.
And they're unique. And that's, you know, that's one of the things I love about Gravehoffer, you guys, is, you know, when I play your music, or, you know, whether it's on the show or just listening to it. I mean, if I'm listening to it, I'm like, this is Gravehoffer. And if I'm playing on my show, people are just like, hey, it's Gravehoffer. You know, it just, you guys have a unique sound. And, you know, when people hear you, they know it's you. And that's one of the things I appreciate about you guys. You know, you haven't got kind of caught in that cookie cutter mold of metal bands. So whatever you guys are doing to keep it fresh, keep doing it because you guys are badass.
Thanks, man. Yeah, that's always been the goal, is to, like, try to... I mean, I don't feel like we're trying to be different. I think it's just kind of a product of us, our ages. You know, we're a little bit, you know, we're all in our mid-40s, and we just listened to so much different stuff. And we're not afraid to try different things, but still, you know, you can try different things without, like, going on doing the complete 180.
Right.
You know, you can like, sprinkle some things in and, you know, put some new wrinkles in your sound. Without, like, who is this? You know, we still want to retain who we are But, you know, if we want to put banjo on a song, we'll do it. If we want to put pedal steel on a song, we'll do it, or, you know, whatever. So yeah, you know, it just, or if we want to, like, record ourselves laughing in the bathroom, you know, we'll do it, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, as long as it fits the song and makes sense, then that's what, you know, we're going to do. So yeah, I appreciate that you and, you know, everybody that listens, that you can tell who we are by listening, and that we aren't cookie cutter. That really means a lot, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I haven't been at a ton of radio stations. Probably, like, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. And for 3 of them, I know I've been playing Greifhoffer on my shows. And,
right.
You know, same response all the time. People coming in requesting that, you know, they want to hear Greifhoffer on your show. And they know who it is as soon as you play it. So
right.
I think that says a lot about you guys and the band. And I also think the other thing, and we were talking about this maybe a little off air as well, is the time you guys put into your social media and promoting. And, you know, that's one of the things I've always appreciated about. And I know all the DJs that play you guys appreciate is, you know, If you hop in and hear us playing your music, next thing you know, it's all over Facebook that so-and-so is playing your music, you know, and that is huge for us, because it's like, oh, you know, most bands don't promote. They just don't. And for whatever reason, they're busy, whatever. But you guys always have. That's been very consistent with you guys. So props to you guys for that.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, I just feel like, you know, we've always been of the school, you know, one hand washes the other, you know, I mean,
it's all a big circle.
It really is. Yeah. And just networking and getting in, you know, chat rooms and stuff like that, and just saying hello and getting to know people. And I mean, heck, that's half the reason I do it, you know,
right.
Writing music and playing shows and then just hanging, you know, having a good time and meeting new people. That's all, you know, it's supposed to be one big party, right?
Yes, so. Exactly. Cheers to that.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, why don't you tell everyone one last time where they can go to find out more about the band?
Okay. Yeah. Our greifhoffer.bandcamp.com. Like I said, we've got music and all kinds of merchandise there. We're on Facebook, of course, facebook.com/greifhoffer. Instagram @Greifhoffer, Twitter @Greifhoffer, YouTube, type in Greifhoffer and you'll see all kinds of videos. We've got hundreds of videos, live videos. We've got videos we've made, videos we've had made, all that good stuff. If you just Google Greifhoffer, you'll find all kinds of stuff. I feel like we're pretty lucky with the name we have, that we don't get... You're not going to confuse Greifhoffer with really much else.
Right.
So,
yeah.
So, a lot, you know, if you Google Greifhoffer, you're pretty much going to get the band. So yeah, I mean, it's all out there, and, you know, we appreciate everybody that, you know, gives us the time of day, really. So thanks a lot.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for taking time, you know, to get on air and spend your evening with me. Much appreciated. Is there anything else about the band, anything coming up that you want to make sure the listeners know that we haven't talked about?
We're actually, as soon as we get through with these shows and the rest of this month and then October and the 1st of November, we're going to start recording our next full-length record. And we've already, unbelievably, I don't know how, we got 4 songs already written for it. We're playing one of them live now. And so No Slip Records has agreed to put it out on vinyl. So that's in the works for next, probably next fall, I'm guessing. We haven't really discussed a timetable yet, but yeah, we'll be working on a new full length for No Slip Records. And I mean, I'm just beyond excited, because the EP that we put out here this last month has went so well, and No Slip put so much time and effort into making it cool. So I can't imagine how much time and effort they're going to put into a full length release.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm beyond excited, and Our new drummer, Jay, is he's a really good writer too. He's a really good guitar player. He can sing, and I'm just real excited to start writing music with him. He's already like he's already contributing riffs and ideas, and I mean it's really exciting right now.
Excellent. Yeah, it's probably, I guess it can probably is can be nice to get just some fresh perspective in there, you know, to help. I'm sure that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. And like I said, you know, having somebody that is contributing like more than just, playing drums, you know.
Right, he's, yeah.
You know, I mean, he's already written like 3 or 4 guitar riffs that are in these 4 new songs that we have, so. Yeah, I mean it's awesome.
Badass.
And you know him, he's a little younger than us, but at the same time, you know, he's in his mid-30s, so he's not a whole lot younger, but it's a little bit of like a kick in the pants, you know, a little bit of a like, hey guys, you know, I'm back here. And I mean he plays super fast, you know. So it's like it's kind of cool getting somebody in the band that we're having to keep up with. You know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yep.
Cool, man. All right. Well, thanks again for taking time to call in. Much appreciated. I'm going to throw a couple Grave Hover tracks at the listeners right now. And,
sweet.
I'll be on the lookout for the new stuff. And don't forget, when those cassettes are done, make sure you set one aside so I can order it, okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I appreciate that.
We'll definitely let you know, man. And thanks again for having me, and thanks everybody for tuning in and checking us out.
All right. Well, have a good night, buddy.
You too, man.
Yep.
Later.
Take care. Bye.
See you.